Valjean, at last we see each other plain.
Monsieur le maire,
you wear a different shade. You're the real face here, though. You should sing that part.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Catholic Bites. This is Father Conrad. I'm with Father Rich and Father Chris. And today we are going to be talking about Les Miserables.
Yes.
Or the Miserables.
Or affectionately known as Les Mis for many.
Les Mis.
Les Miserables.
Father Chris, why are we talking about this?
Because, well, one, it's just an outstanding show.
Side note, do you remember Thanksgiving in the seminary one time where we like basically sang the entire score of Les Mis?
No, just one day more.
No, we sang like the whole
score.
Yeah, it was you, me, and Father Mahano, and we went on and on and on and on. Anyway, end of side note. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's a great show. A few years ago, it was done as a movie with, Russell Crowe and Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway. But the story, it's such a Catholic story. But ultimately, I think one of the powerful themes in it is the transformative effect of mercy. A lot of times when we think of mercy, we think of it just as like, oh, it's something we receive. It's something that happens to us. It's
nice. The slate just gets wiped clean.
Yeah. But in Les Mis, we realize that mercy is transformative. It changes us. So what we have at the beginning, it begins with this guy, Jean Valjean, who is in jail basically for very unjust reasons. When he's let out of jail.
Well, 5 years for what he did, the rest because he tried to run.
Right. So another 14 years after that. Yes. So 19 years in jail. Basically, his life, you know, the prime years of his life were taken away from him. Thank you for quoting that song.
Favorite character is Javert.
Yeah. Oh, man. Javert is the legalist. He's the what do you call it? Like the lieutenant,
the police
officer, basically. So Jean Valjean is let out, and but whenever he tries to get a job, he has a piece of paper that says he's still a prisoner. Mm-hmm. And so he's really not able to get any good job or do anything well. And eventually he goes, a bishop takes him in on a very cold night, a very saintly bishop, kind of a John Vianney character, especially in the book.
In the book, yeah, the first 100 pages are just about the bishop. So
just a saintly, saintly bishop character. And so he takes this character, Jean Valjean, in. He sees him outside. He takes him in for dinner, feeds him really well. And just treats him so nicely. And then Jean Valjean that night says, this is my chance. There's all this nice stuff here in the rectory. And so the bishop goes to sleep. He steals a whole bunch of the silver and all this different stuff. He starts running away. He's caught, brought back to the rectory because he says, oh, the bishop gave me all these things. Of course, the police officers don't believe him. And then the bishop says, no, he's right. I did give him these things, but he forgot these two candlesticks as well that I gave him. Jean Valjean is totally shocked that he was treated in this way. And so he has this amazing, I'm just going to quote the song because it's so beautiful. He says, yet why did I allow this man to touch my soul and teach me love? He treated me like any other. He gave me his trust. He called me brother. He told me that I have a soul. How does he know? Is there another way to go? That in this encounter with mercy, he starts realizing that maybe he's more than he ever thought he was. And the rest of the movie, we see Jean Valjean treating others with mercy all over the place. Mm. And so it's this totally transformative effect. He takes on a different persona. He starts living a totally different life because of this encounter.
And that speaks to the broader point, you know, abstracting from Les Mis, that grace and mercy don't just kind of cover over our sins. They don't just say, oh, okay, everything's good now. But grace actually enters into us and changes us and makes us good, makes us who we were always meant to be. Valjean is not meant to be this thief. He's meant to be the great magnanimous man that he is later in the play. And it's mercy and grace that transforms him and makes him new.
Absolutely. And I think that's such an important point just for the world today, because I think a lot of people kind of think that if they've sinned or if they've done something, you know, wrong, then they're done. They're corrupt, and it's sort of like just they're totally
or that they can, like, when they get into heaven, it's going to be like, oh, you know, he won't look at this one, you know, like so many times. Yeah. Someone will say to me, oh, Father, you know, I'm going to need some help just covering up this stuff. I'm like, no, that's not what heaven's about.
Yeah.
Heaven's not about you just kind of getting by. It's about you being radically transformed.
Yeah, not the sort of mafioso, like, well, I know a guy who can sort of smuggle you in on the sly. You know, no, I think that's important. I think that, you know, it's one of the profound mysteries of the cross is really that, you know, God enters into, like, the worst thing that can happen and takes, like, murder and like all, everything and doesn't just sort of like wipe it away like, oh, oopsie daisy, well, you know, sort of brush that under the rug. It's like he enters into it and his strength is made perfect in weakness and he transforms it.
And I think it's also just such a beautiful, you know, thing for those of us that are, that struggle with sin, or, you know, I mean, we're so those of us meaning, you know, humans, you know, we struggle with sin and we're just like, oh, I just got to get better. Right. I've just got to keep pushing, keep trying to, and there's something like we do have to, you know, try and everything, but ultimately it's this encounter with love that changes our hearts so that we live a different life. You know, the woman that went away after she was caught in adultery and Jesus says, you know, go sin no more. He gives her the power to sin no more by that encounter with him, mm-hmm. With that love, with that mercy. And ultimately, it's just our pride that gets in the way, that refuses to be in the debt of that kind of love.
Mm-hmm. And that's the character of
your favorite character. Yeah.
My favorite character. I only like it because he's a great bass and he has some really sweet songs. But he, in the end, is shown mercy as well by Valjean, but he can't accept that mercy. And it's telling that the music for his song of trying to accept mercy is the same, but a little bit more minor, of Valjean's encounter with mercy. And whereas Valjean, he died to himself and became a new man, Javert can't do it. He can't handle it. I'm right. My pride is right. And so he ends up committing suicide. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it.
And he gives into despair.
He gives into
He'd
the
rather live in despair than in this love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that, so, you know, we're all priests, and I'm sure we've all had this experience, but, like, sometimes people ask, like, what's my favorite part about being a priest? And, like, I often stammer when people ask that, because it's like, well, everything. Because there are a lot of really wonderful things, but, like, I love confession for precisely this reason.
Confession when people like confess like their whole heart. Like, you know, people think like, oh, the priest is going to be upset if I say the big sins. And it's like, other way, you get to be freed of all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing because like, so people will come in and they will have a real and beautiful repentant heart, and they've made an examination of conscience, and they've really sort of come to terms with, you know, who they are and why they need redemption, and they come there, and I think more often than not, like when I tell people, like, you know, like I really love hearing confessions, they're like, oh, well, it's because you want to know like all the salacious details. No, that's not like, that's not the reason. The reason is because more often than not, when somebody comes in like that, like, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this too, God's grace works through that. And it, like, even in the box, people are like transformed.
Yeah.
And you just see like they're set free. Yeah. And it's like, holy cow. And you know that as a priest, it's even more humbling and edifying because, you know, it's like, well, that wasn't my word.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's like, I that wasn't any like beautiful advice or anything that I gave. It's like totally the grace of God working through you as an instrument and like really reshaping this person right in front of you for anything that they bring.
The beauty of the book and the reason why we're talking about the book and the play is that these truths need to be expressed artistically, that we need to encounter this mercy. And sometimes people won't, if they're listening to a priest talk about it, then they're like, oh, okay, whatever, you know, he's a priest. But when they see it lived out on the stage in the book, you know, that there's this ability to say, oh, no, that's not just for him, but that's for me too.
And so that's what I was thinking in terms of like just this encounter with God's mercy and confession in wherever it is, that what takes place in, you know, Les Miserables, where we see this man transformed, ultimately it's what we see in every single saint. Mm-hmm. If you read a life of a saint, that is what took place. You know, whether that saint is Saint Augustine or Saint Therese, you know, Saint Augustine had a little more colorful past than Saint Therese, but mm-hmm. both of them, by encountering the mercy of God, lived radical lives of holiness. And that's offered to each person that comes into the confessional, like Father Rich was saying, just that experience of freedom that's given in that new life that's offered is such a beautiful thing. And I, just as a priest, it's one of the greatest gifts to be able to invite people to experience that in their own lives and to become saints themselves.
Yeah, so everyone, the message is go to confession, experience God's transformative mercy. It's not just kind of covering things up. It is changing our hearts and making us new people. And that's just a tremendous, tremendous joy. Well, thank you. Speaking of tremendous, tremendous joys, thank you, Father Rich, for being here. And not so tremendous joys. thank you, Father Chris, as well. If you like this talk, then that's surprising. But if you'd like to hear more about other great Catholic talks from great Catholic speakers, you can check out CatholicBitesPodcast.com. And you can also find us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you. God bless you.